to get a bit of a sense of what the Holy Spirit is all about, this video from the Bible Project gives a great introduction.
If you've ever heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit, and you want to know what it means, where do you start?
Well, you have to start on page one of the Bible, where the uncreated world is depicted as this dark, chaotic place. But then above the chaos, God's Spirit is there, hovering, ready to bring about life and order and beauty.
Okay, but what is God's Spirit?
Yeah, so the Spirit is the way the biblical authors talk about God's personal presence. The Hebrew word is ruach.
Ruach.
Yeah, you gotta clear your throat at the end.
So what is it?
Well, ruach can refer to a number of different things, but what they all have in common is energy.
Energy, how so?
So there's an invisible energy that makes the clouds move or the tree branches sway.
Right, wind.
So in Hebrew, that's ruach.
Okay.
Now take a big breath. So you feel that inside you?
Yeah, the air?
Well, specifically the energy, right? The vitality in your body that you get from breathing deeply, that too is ruach. And this is the same word used in the Bible to describe God's personal presence. Just like wind and breath are invisible, God's Spirit is invisible. Wind is powerful, and so God's Spirit is powerful. And just as breath keeps us alive, so God's Spirit sustains all of life.
Yeah. Ruach.
Now, as we continue on in the story of the Bible, we see God's Ruach giving special empowerment to people for specific tasks. The first person in the Bible this happens to is Joseph.
God's Spirit enables him to understand and interpret dreams.
And then it happens to this guy named Bezalel, and he's an artist.
God's Spirit empowers him with wisdom and skills. He's given creative genius to make beautiful things in the tabernacle.
And we also see God's Ruach empower a group of people called the prophets.
They're able to see what's happening in history from God's point of view.
That's exactly right. And here's the problem as the prophets saw it. While God's Ruach had created a really good world, humans have given in to evil. They've unleashed chaos into it through their injustice.
A new type of disorder.
Yes. And the prophet said the Spirit would come, just like in Genesis 1, but now to transform the human heart, to empower people to truly love God and others.
How will this new act of God's Spirit happen?
Well, centuries pass, and we are introduced to Jesus. And at the beginning of his mission, there's this beautiful scene where Jesus is being baptized in the waters of the Jordan River.
Yeah, the sky opens up, and God's Spirit comes and rests on him like a bird.
This story is saying that God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin the new creation. And we see this happening when he heals people or forgives their sins. He's creating life where there once was death.
Now, Israel's religious leaders oppose Jesus, and they eventually have him killed.
But even here, God's Spirit is at work. The earliest disciples of Jesus, who saw him alive from the dead, said it was God's energizing Spirit that raised Jesus.
This is the beginning of new creation.
Yes, and it's still going. When Jesus appeared to his closest followers, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
And soon after that, the Spirit powerfully comes on all of his disciples.
So that they can become a part of this new creation and share the good news and learn how to live by the energy and influence of God's Spirit.
And so today, the Spirit is still hovering in dark places.
Yes, pointing people to Jesus, transforming and empowering them so they can love God and others. And the Christian hope is that the Spirit is going to finish the job. The story of the Bible ends with a vision of a new humanity, living in a new world that's permeated with God's love and life-giving Spirit.
So the Spirit of God we see is there right from the beginning. So it's this very sense of the presence of God calling and shaping God's people to be this one holy nation, a kingdom of priests, we're told in Exodus 19. Now, that's the vision. That's the call of God for his people, to shape them, to form them, to be a holy people, a people set apart to be the very presence of God, to minister to the world, to be the sign in the world of God's love, of God's life, of God's goodness. But Israel stuffed that up. Israel wasn't able to do that, just as the early disciples wanted to do that. But they, without exception, also managed to get it all wrong, just as we, in our own lives manage to get it all wrong. And so we need something more. Now, Pentecost celebrates the Jewish feast of Shavuot. It's that celebration of covenant. It was 50 days after they were released from the slavery of Egypt that they finally made their way to Sinai. And so in Sinai, they're able to experience that freedom from slavery in this place that isn't controlled by anybody else, this place of Sinai, which becomes a place of encounter, this place where they can discover the presence of God. And so slavery, freedom from slavery, is the first step of this, which is what we celebrate at Easter, that Jesus sets us free from our sins, that Jesus redeems us, that Jesus gives us this possibility of living for Him. But we need the second stage, and this is what we celebrate today at Pentecost, this gift of God, the fire of God's love, this power of God to set us free from sin, but to actually live now in this grace, to live now in the goodness of God. And that's what we long for, this sense of completion, this sense of that power to change. There's no point having this transformation unless we can live it out, unless we can live in that redemption, unless we can live in that freedom. And so the Spirit of God comes, as the video says, just as simply as in our breath, in that reception of the energy of God. And so we receive God's power and God's life, and we expel all those things that are not from God, all of those things that cling to us, that prevent us from living in that freedom. But the Spirit's gifts are never just for ourselves. The gifts of the Spirit are there for the whole church, so that we can be that one holy nation, that royal priesthood, that people that are set apart to sing the praises of God. And so this call of the Spirit is to bring us into this new kingdom and to be a people that allow God to do this work in us. And so our prayer today is indeed that desire for God to come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle in us the fire of your love, that we can be this purpose, that we can be this people set apart, that we can sing your praises, that we can bear witness in the world of your presence, of your life, of your energy. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference. The Holy Spirit is the thing that allows us to be Christians, to be followers, to not get it wrong all the time, to allow the Spirit of God to call us into life again. So let's indeed make it our prayer today. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Let us be your people. Let us be this nation set apart to live for you, to be a witness for you, to live in the world as a sign of your life, your energy, and your goodness in the world.